Welcome to the AI Asia Pacific Institute podcast. The rise of AI presents important legal and ethical challenges for society. In this podcast, we invite leaders from different industries and creators of new AI to debate the big questions. This is the AI Asia Pacific Institute podcast.
And welcome to today's podcast. I'm here today with Antonio Ferraco. Antonio is the Managing Consultant for Industry 4.0 at TelSearch. He is responsible for supporting the process manufacturing sector in adopting technologies within the IoT and Industry 4.0 space to enable end-to-end integration, improve HSE, and optimize efficiency. With a PhD in artificial intelligence, a master's of science in industrial engineer, and a PMP, Antonio ran successful projects in IoT and 14.0 for oil and gas, mining, and pharma, and has joined several international and large initiatives in EU and ASEAN as a digitalization and industry 4.0 expert. He worked with ING consultancy and technology advisory sector before and has comprehensive experience in AI and VR, AI, business process optimization, project management, energy efficiency, and robotics. Antonio is also an adjunct professor of innovation process management at the University of Vitex since 2013. He also delivers talks for industry and academia in both technical topics such as predictive maintenance and non-technical ones, like management of innovation process and technology transfer strategies. Welcome, Antonio. It's really great to have you here today.
Thanks, Kelly, and to everybody. And it's my pleasure to be here with you today. And
excellent.
Also, thanks for reading the bio. I never expected to be so. So professional, I forgot almost, you know?
Well, it's a very impressive background and I'm excited about this conversation. And I think perhaps a good place to start is by inviting you to share your experience advising companies in adopting technologies within the Industry 4.0 space. So specifically artificial intelligence. So. Yeah. What are the main challenges that you are seeing in the industry?
Okay, nice intro first question. Well, let's say that my experience, my first meeting with the AI was back in 2006, 2007, when I decided to enroll a PhD in cognitive psychology and artificial intelligence. So then when I started my PhD, AI was not really well known as today. In 2007, 2008, we were still speaking about generative algorithms that learn day by day. And I think that we were at the beginning of this exponential growth of AI. You know, AI, we can say that the birth of AI is in the mid-50s, 1954. And then there were two big hype and two winters. So if you remember, I think in the beginning of 80s, there was one of the first winter where people started to lose hope about AI. The second one in mid 90s, again, lose hope. And then after that, there's a continuous growth. Continuous growth means big interest from people, big investment from companies. But today's AI is still growing and will still continue to grow. And from my understanding, because my main area of focus is more on the manufacturing side, and AI has a huge potential also in the manufacturing, is that people still didn't understand or lack of knowledge towards AI. There are elite companies or elite people who are really aware of what AI, where AI can support. But the most of the consumers, the most of the customers that we discuss with, they start to bring AI in the whole picture because they have a lot of data. They start collecting a lot of data since 3-4 years time, and they think, oh, what should I do now with all this data? Where can I capitalize such data? Where can I create value? And they think AI. AI is the best way of doing that. But it's not always the right answer. There are some scenarios where basically AI is a something you don't need. You maybe advanced analytics or advanced statistics can also play a key role. You really need to define what's the scope and where AI will be helpful. Because also, if you have to define an ROI for a time on investment on AI, is not so straightforward. What do you used to say that AI, artificial intelligence algorithm or applications, they are not a product that you go out and you purchase. It's more a journey that you intend to take. You know, there's a lot of time and effort that a company needs to spend in AI, proper effort. AI is not something you get new. AI needs, some algorithms needs to be trained, needs to learn. And for example, digital applications in manufacturing, AI, quality control, for example, or predictive maintenance. And you need a lot of different parameters in order for AI to be properly adopted. So my experience is basically I face a lot of interest, but this interest is more because artificial intelligence now becoming a trend. They don't really know what is the actual impact, but they think AI is a solution to all the amount of big information that I have, which, as I mentioned, I would say in 40-50% of the case could be applied, but it's not always like that. So if I may list top challenges in artificial intelligence, I would say first is lack of knowledge of what AI, of what the power of AI is and where is the right environment to put AI. Second is the trust. We all know AI is not yet a proven science. So it's not like electricity. We open and close the light and the bulb works or not works. AI is one of the best, I would say, advisory in some processes. So to trust completely AI with the decisions, we're not there yet. We saw what happens in US, I think in 2017, when an autopilot caused an accident for one Tesla car. And it was one case out of 130,000. It was not, let's say, it's one every 10. It's a very small percentage. But because it was autopilot, then all this fuss was born around that. So trust needs to be built. And this is some area where we with the Stupsuit, we're really quite active within this space. Another challenge, I would say, probably the expertise available in the market for the implementation of AI are still a small niche. Not directly, basically correlated to the need or the potential applications that are there. When we think about AI now, okay, here in Singapore, for example, they are adopting AI to upskill the people, but in what sense? Application of AI can basically take some tasks out of some manual tasks out. I mean, let's think when we make a phone call to, okay, 10 years ago, you call your bank and you basically speak with the person directly, immediately. Now, before speaking with a person, you need to make the right selection in between the numbers. And many people think, that's some great application of AI, but it's not yet, it's not perfectly and purely AI. AI is all the decision stays behind. So there's still a lack of knowledge. A lot of people, the majority would say lack of knowledge towards AI. Mm-hmm. What are the main purposes of AI and where it can be applied? As I mentioned to you, many manufacturers, but not only manufacturers, also retailers, they have a big amount of data. Really, they collect data, peta data every day in their processes, in the production phases, and they have basically lost what to do with this data, and they hope that AI brings them an answer. So I think that these are the main challenges in AI. Also the skepticism that we have towards this technology, that many have towards this technology, can also be considered as a challenge or as a barrier to the full adoption of AI.
Mm-hmm. And so if we look at trust as one of the components that you mentioned there, which is a very important one, I think driving a lot of this innovation, what would you say we need to do to get there? And I know you can talk a lot about projects that you've been involved in working in that space. So yeah, you've got a lot to share there.
Yeah, no. One of my first, like, you know, my let's say the PhD, when I did the PhD in AI, there were not so much industrial application for AI because it was 2007, 8, 9, and 10. So during this year, AI was not yet adopted in the industrial or in the manufacturing space as it is today. Although it is not very huge, the adoption rate at the time was much, much lower. So you can imagine it was more an academic approach. It was more studying what could AI be, where AI could be applied in the future. It was more identify what business models can be behind AI at the time. Nowadays, these questions are much easier to answer. And one of the first projects where we my team applied some deep learning, it was in the manufacturing, it was back in 2013, 2014, where basically it was applied to some computer vision to inspect defects on a specific products, but it was not the direct benchmarking or direct inspection of the defects. It was more on creating and clusterizing families of defects in order to arrive to the root cause. So is a component on overall solution where AI can be applied, not the solution itself. And here is where AI brings the value in for manufacturers, but also for retailers. There are several schools of AI, and some of them are basically more in trying to identify perception or trying to identify feelings of people, sentiment of people, sentiment analysis, which is used a lot in the retailing. And that there are also other schools, like for example, embodied AI. The embodied AI is more used for communication, for robotic manipulation. So it's also very important that we start to identify what is this before adoption. And before the adoption, there's this trust word. How can you build the trust? Where should you start to build the trust towards AI? This is a big and long question. And this is something
that everyone wants to know, right?
Okay, you should start from the beginning, and not as a consumer, but as a developer, you should also consider from the start, how can my AI algorithm or my AI application can be certified is a big word, but how can meet the specific requirements for quality? So within TOOF, within TUV, we are basically focusing, and we developed a framework that can support multinational working in AI, developers are working in AI to meet these requirements. It's a quality management framework. There are several quality, okay, we based this approach on a family of ISO 9001:2015, which is the quality management system standard, globally known and globally used, but it's more used for management processes. Now we try to basically get this framework also to apply to AI, and we apply this to basically the whole life cycle of the AI development. It's like a product. You need to certify all the single components of the products and the use where the product will be used in order for the product to be certified safe, a safe program. for product. So, and then basically in AI, based on the 9001, as I mentioned to you, we try to provide answers to many of the questions that AI brings and poses, like data. For example, where does the data come from? Because, you know, AI is a continuous training, right? So all the data should be reliable enough to build the trust on this data. Where, how is the data then annotated and collected? Is it complete? Is it reliable? And these are some of the questions that you should be able to answer when developing the algorithm. On the other side, there's the algorithm question themselves, like, is the algorithm or the error function appropriate? How you define all these important, let's say, different informations? What kind of parameters should I consider for my algorithm to be appropriate? And where can I achieve this? Like, for example, imagine a bank that is giving loans and it make use of AI, or for example, an HR company which is recruiting, right? What if this recruitment, for example, the 95% of the recruited people and sell people to the companies are for example, I don't know, white people, or are all slim, or I don't know, there's some sort of characteristics that can then have strong consequences for the company itself. These are small things that needs to be considered. And then also from the model point perspective, how reliable is my model? Things are continuously changing and evolving. Is my model applicable also when, I don't know, aircon or some other, I'm saying aircon because it is a technology can continuously evolve and you can control it and embed in your the IoT device like iPhone or so on. Is my model able to embed new technologies in the future? Or will my model be outdated in 3-4 years time? So, and how is this model updated? Is it updated the firmware, for example, of a device which embeds AI? So is it, how is it updated? It's updated every year, every 2 years. Is it possible to be updated or not? So these are some of the key questions that each developer, each company should ask themselves when they start to conceptualize everything in order not to face later potential problem or challenges. And this basically should be applied in the whole life cycle of the product, starting from the requirement specification, then the system design, architecture design, until the implementation. And also after the implementation, there should be a continuous, like for example, testing, unit testing, and the integration at the all levels. So this is a way that you may consider to build fast. It's not a walk in the park. I don't know if it's the English correct, but sometimes I try to translate directly from the Italian. And maybe that doesn't really have the same meaning.
I know, exactly what you mean. But what you mean is, it's not a simple process, right? It's not one solution. It's an ongoing process.
And then what we is an ongoing process, and what we try to do within TUV is within TUV is making use of this basically 9001-2015, the quality management system certification standards, which basically is focusing on the different steps of the management processes, like identification of the scope, the specification of the targets and the processes, the monitor and review of each single process, translating this into a quality framework for artificial intelligence and developers or companies that adopt this thing. We don't think that reinventing the wheel is something that makes sense. So what we do, we basically scouted which are the actual available standards in the market and see which pieces here and there make sense to establish such quality framework. So for example, some of the most commonly adopted standards in the life cycle are ISO 12000 family, like inequalities, the ISO 25000 or 9000 family. But probably are not very well known in the market because only for the specific operators. But if I mention privacy standards, think about or regulation standards like the GDPR, like the PDPA, all these are well known. So all people who are going to implement or companies who are going to implement this tool, this application in AI, they should be aware about what are the regulations where my AI tool will be adopted. Is it going to be globally exploited? Is it going to be globally positioned? Company will use it globally. So there are multiple set of standards or regulations that you need to comply with. It's important that you are always able to meet the minimal requirements needed for what concerns the safety, and think about the accident that happened back in the US 2-3 years ago. The security, because you apply AI to your business processes, so you don't want that this, and AI is a lot to create insights, to generate value, to capitalize on your data. Security aspects are the minimum that you should consider in order to avoid this new money or new value created to be stolen, right? And also legal aspects. What are the legal aspects that we should be taking care of? Nowadays, there's a complete change in what we can say or what we can do compared to 10, 15 years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially when it comes to data and...
Yes, to data. And AI is a science. I mean, AI is trying to mimic the human behavior. Mm-hmm. Try to translate the human behavior using machine, computational power and other sort of machine. And human behavior is not always compliant with legal attitudes. So if some of this human behavior is not compliant with the legal attitude, who will be responsible for not respecting the rules? Mm-hmm. The company adopting AI, so the developer, or the company who sells AI, who would be the responsible?
Correct.
Then also, ethics issue. Ethics issues should also be taken in consideration. Very important. And the last but not least is the performance. The AI algorithm that we're going to apply should perform as we're expecting. So also big amount of data that are going to be processed in real time. Do they have enough bandwidth or enough connectivity to enough computing power behind that enables this utilization, for example? These are some of the aspects that should be always considered on each single stage of the development phase, running continuously some risk analysis that can tell me, okay, going through this path, I may face these risks, and how can I avoid this? And this is what we need to suit. We always try to, I mean, this is what we do together with some multinational partner. We start from both on the side of a single AI component, on single AI artificial intelligence data. So in each single step, we run a sort of checklist, a sort of risk assessment, as there is now. And all these different parameters are evaluated. And here is kind of way on how you can build trust.
Yeah, so many questions in relation to this. I was actually working on, UNESCO has just released the first draft of the framework around AI. As in trying to create some type of global cooperation around this, right? Because what we have right now is various ethical frameworks around the world, but not necessarily that have, some type of encouraging people to really embrace the practicality of it, right? And so I guess, what are you seeing in industry in practice? These are perfect ideas. What are you seeing? What are the response? Are people, because I suppose your work would also involve a lot of education in terms of building that knowledge towards what needs to be done. And so probably your work around this would, as a first step, you probably spend quite a bit of time having these conversations with companies before you can introduce this type of certification process, right?
Yeah, yeah. And one important thing is that it's not finalized certification at the moment, because it's a quality, it's more quality framework that supports customers toward the right development of AI. It's more a quality framework at the moment. We're working also on translating this to the certification, but it's not purely yet a certification. The knowledge, I mean, when we discuss with manufacturers, we always try, or with developers, we always try to understand what is the ultimate scope of this willingness to adopt or to develop AI. That's really, really important. From the scope, we try to identify what are the requirements that are needed to be met in order not to face issues related to, for example, to ethics or legal issues that are important. Is AI application being going to be run only inside the wall of my manufacturing plant? Or is my AI application trying to analyze the behavior of people outside the plant so that I can change features in my products? It's also risky to refer now to companies in the market, are mobile devices producers also trying to understand the introduction of the earbuds? Is basically, see, people are not taking their phone anymore in their hands. They're using earbuds, so the ergonomics can change accordingly. Or all this sort of information that they want to collect. And they want to translate this as soon as possible in the next new mobile device. So how also is the AI that is capturing this information meeting legal aspects? They always ask you when it comes if you can share your data with XYZ from your mobile. But if I need to run some analysis of what people post on social media, applications of some sentiment analysis, for example, where you can understand what are the features of a product that are welcome, what are the features of a product that you do not like, and then how this data can be then used, okay? It's not only understanding what feature of your product are loved, it's also understanding what feature of your competitors' products are not loved, because those represent a space in the market. Those represent a small market portion where you can basically get innovating putting some new features. This, for example, the mobile device market, the mobile market is a very interesting one. It's a very interesting one. They come out with a new model every year, every 2 years, and no one is anymore advertising the quality of the audio or the quality of the video. Probably it's 15 years that I never saw buy this device, because the audio or the antenna for the reception is much better, and you can have seamless communication with one or any other people. No, now there are more features like, I don't know, picture, photography, like software embedded. Why? Because they keep on studying what people want, what they like. So it's also this sort of, how do I collect, are the data reliable? Because if the data are not reliable, this can also represent a flop when you go and invest. So there's many aspects when it comes to the AI that needs to be considered.
How possible do you think it is for other companies to be replicating this process? Is it achievable? We know it's a lot of work it's ongoing monitoring, right? You need to be constantly checking and also making sure that your clients deploying that solution are also understanding and complying with those requirements, right?
Yeah, then, okay, there are two ways. Or they come to us, the first way, which is straightforward, or no, just kidding, or no, but they need to establish a very deep knowledge of the market, of the environment that they are going to operate in. The purposes that this AI application will develop for, the market where this AI application will basically be will be positioned, for example, what are the legal aspects, what are the ethics aspects, what is the performance required. I mean, I always believed that spending more time in the organizational portion or in the planning portion helps you to save a lot of subsequent issues later. Sometimes what we used to say, I always say the rule of 110, 100, when it comes, for example, to maintenance, predictive maintenance or other. So $1 that you spend now helps you to save $10 during the execution and $100 when the implementation.
I love that. I love that because that is the connection of, ethics builds trust, and trust is actually financially rewarding in the long run.
Yes.
And that's the message that I think it's delayed, especially in the artificial intelligence industry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And sometimes customer outside there, they think, oh, I don't know, it's not worth to spend one now. It's not worth to spend one now or two, three now. But I will spend later 10, I will spend, but this is basically a procrastination of the starting journey, of the start to better understand where AI would make sense for me in my processes. And at the later stage, this is a cost opportunity from my perspective. Some of them, they procrastinate the investment now, and they will be followers. When you are followers, also in manufacturing, because I'm really like, being a technology advisor for industry 4.0, the adoption of these technologies, for me, makes sense in the manufacturing environment also. And the more the company they wait, the more cost opportunity they lose. Because others basically are stealing your market. Some of the company we're working together, they are kind of leader in their own sector. They wanted to collaborate with us because in the last 5 years, they saw a distance between them and the followers that was going to be, it was reducing this distance. And they don't want to lose the leadership. So they are deciding to invest. They did it like 3 years ago. And they keep being the first in the market. The leader, they keep the leadership in the niche where they operate. And if you're not really considering now to invest in digital, let's say, you'll face a big losses in the future.
Yeah. I mean, what happened? Especially now? With COVID-19.
Well, yeah, I was going there. Definitely, because how I define COVID-19, it's a wake up call from one side. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, is telling you digital is there, and it's not far from the adoption of everyday life. Most of the activities you are running now, digitally, connecting people digitally, controlling some of the processes in your plant digitally, getting inside. I mean, this is where the world is going, and this is why I believe it's a real wake up call.
Absolutely. So, and I think with COVID-19, we could really see the companies that didn't embrace that earlier. That just became so much more clear now, isn't it?
Yeah, they were already, I started this journey in Industry 4.0 already, let's say in 2013, because I was with a very well-known global R&D, applied R&D German company, and Industry 4.0 is step two. Coming from Germany, and already in 2013 were a few of the pioneers that goes and adopted AI in the manufacturing processes. So, and this company nowadays, they are all leaders in their own sector because they've been able to increase margins on one side and to reduce costs on the other side. They've been able to get more market share because they know what their customer wants. They always keep on fighting with their competitors because there's a, think about the automotive sector. There are two big companies from Germany that they come out with a new model every year, every 2 years, right? And this new model has some features that the other brand customers complain about. So they play this role and they use sentiment analysis to see what are the complaints about some specific things and they try to improve it in the next generation, in the next model. And this gives them the opportunity to get more market share, but also to automate and digitalize some internal processes. Imagine in a manufacturing environment, for example, the application of AI in the quality check of parts, right? If you are able to identify a defect and there's some deep learning applied there and tells you this defect was caused because this raw material was not compliant with what we were expecting, you can immediately solve it. And this is a big, big value add for the overall.
Without losing too much money or having to.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Another area where AI is applied in the manufacturing is predictive maintenance. Imagine the cost that you can save implementing some predictive strategy for the maintenance of your equipment, where you get some sort of suggestion from AI tools telling you if this specific machine will continue to work with this stress for the next 3 months, then you will face downtime. You better or lower the stress the machine has, or you need to make some intervention now. So you can plan it. You can plan the intervention, which basically will be 4 hours or 1 day shutdown, instead of having 1 week completely of shutdown where you need to order spare parts that needs to be delivered, then you need the intervention. I mean, there's a lot of application that completely changed the way that we conceive manufacturing. And here AI plays a key role. Plays a key role also when it comes to human-robot collaborations. Because the robot needs to, they are already starting to think slowly, mathematically, with the logic, but they are starting to think. So yes. These are some of the future applications that we people need to be involved in the process from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. We need human-centric AI.
Yes, it should be human-centric. And we need to be part of all this change, all this development. Above all, if you want to apply AI technology in a manufacturing environment, you need people to understand what would be the benefit of AI or of any other technologies. Because if you're told there's a bot, a new chatbot, that now can answer your HR question or your procurement questions, people need to understand what's the benefit. The benefit might be that if I need some information from HR or from the procurement, I can just digit in the chatbot this question and I receive an immediate answer instead of waiting 2-3 days from HR or from somebody else to answer to my email. So in this way, seeing the benefit, people are more happy to embrace the technology.
Absolutely. And I guess that brings me to, you were discussing that collaboration between us humans and machines. How do you see that unfolding in the, you know, in the beginning of our conversation, you're talking about the development of artificial intelligence there, how, you know, data really change that progress. So how do you see the next few years unfolding?
I'll see that the next few years would more based on the design and implementation. I would say design and POC and implementation. In 2 years or more, I would see the increase of adoption. Think about Siri on your mobile, or Bixby, or other sort of AI embedded in your mobile devices. When they were first introduced, I don't think a lot of people were interacting with them. Nowadays, I mean, you ask for information, you ask new generation are more like Google Home. It's basically a friend for some new generation, or also from you, you want this sort of interaction comes with the time. And also in the human-machine collaboration, where for machine we intend not only a robot, but or a robotic arm or a hardware robot, but also platforms, it needs to be approached as a value add that helps me to interact with the digital world. Now, if we are able to share this message with the people that our application or this implementation is just bringing you like value add in terms of time saving, in terms of cost saving, in terms of other aspects, people are also more, and there's no risks. So there's a trust. You can easily trust. So if you have this knowledge about what is the difference and big trust on the other side, the adoption will be much faster. So I believe that in the manufacturing sectors, apart these leader companies that are already embracing AI, many are now testing or designing what could be a proper application for improving our processes from the lesson learned, continuous lesson learned that they have. So it will take another couple of years or more before it will be fully adopted. In daily life, it's much faster because there's not the same impact or the same risks in terms of decision making or supports.
Yeah, very good. And trust is the foundation there. I like
that. The foundation. And I'm not sure if it's because I'm working for TÜV-SÜD but now trust is one of the key words that are within my daily vocabulary, and every time that I speak with people, we basically prefer to establish trust relationship on a long run instead of having one time buy or some other sort of interaction with our customers. It doesn't have to be a monetary closing immediately. It's more that we build a relation that lasts for years where there's trust. And if you're able to build trust, you partner with the people.
Absolutely. You don't want to do business with people that you trust, right?
Yes. And AI should be the same. Once AI will have the full trust from the market or will be mature enough for the people to trust completely with all the aspects that we share, like legal, ethical, performance, all these different aspects. People will also be more enthusiastic to adopt AI, to run POC within AI, and also believe that in future we will have a higher level of knowledge about AI. The curricula of the universities is changing, it's completely changing. They are now, at least in Singapore, but also in EU, there are now more training courses, but also on the web, available on letting people understand what is AI, how AI can help me, my daily operation, my daily activities. And this is something that is basically creating an awareness in the all market about AI. And the educators, all these training and trainers, they have a very important role, because now they are building the trustworthiness of the AI market in the future. Things that until 5 years ago, there was a big lack of this. There were not so many people who were really into AI, or AI was just seen as a Hollywood approach. It was more proven by the science than the real life. And now this training for people, this awareness rising, it's very important because technology is not far. Technology is almost there. So yeah. You have a big role, you know? Can
we all do, yes. And the time is now. I like that too.
Yeah, the time is now. I think in 3 to 5 years, there will be such a huge adoption of AI in many markets, from retailing, consumer retailing, to all the other manufacturing sectors. And this is why it's also important that there's a parallel process, the development of the building trust. That's really important. If there's no trust, the adoption can be delayed of 5 to 10 years. If you are able also to have something which people trust, the adoption rate will increase with much shorter time.
Absolutely.
This is my personal perspective.
I agree. Antonio, this has been very good. Thank you very much for taking the time to be here today.
My pleasure, Kelly. I never thought you were so passionate about the I really am.
But there you go. We're going to have to do a few more podcasts now. For people, for people listening that wanted to reach out to you, what is the best way?
They can or drop me an email if they want. I should say my email right now is antonio.ferraco, Ferraco, at gmail.com. So any questions or any email, I get my private email account because you never know what sort of question you can get. And because I don't have an AI tool which selects the different question, it's always good.
And you're also on LinkedIn. Yes.
Yes. Also on LinkedIn, you can easily find my profile at Antonio Ferraco. So it's very straightforward. You see Italian working for Tubsu. I think in Singapore, that's the differentiator.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And
Also through the AI Asia Pacific Institute, they can contact you. And then I hope that the institute will basically link me with them or something. There are many ways. Nowadays, we are all connected, Kelly.
Yes, we are. That's right. Okay, well, thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening.